Welcome to the Ministry Marks podcast. My name is Thomas Majors, and I'm joined by David Haynes. David, have you ever been in an earthquake?
An earthquake? Actually, I think I have. Can I tell you the story very quickly?
Please.
This will only take like 18, 20 minutes. So years ago, I was still working on cars, putting in windshields, and April and I were eating in Metoro, Corinth, Mississippi. For the Corinthians out there, this would be the old Metoro location, very close to modern Kroger. We were in that restaurant, and you could feel it under your feet. You could feel vibrations. There were probably four or five other couples in the restaurant, and we all looked at each other and everybody said, "Did you just feel that? Did you feel that? That was an earthquake. That was a tremor. That was an earthquake." Everybody in the restaurant had the same reaction. I then went back as I was working on cars. We were right across from the Chevrolet dealership, and at the Chevrolet dealership, a guy in the parts department was a shade tree seismographer or seismographer, however you want to say it, person who looked at that. And I told him that story. He said, "Every day there are tremors in Alcorn County." He said, "On the rarest of occasions, you can feel them." That day, it was just under Metoro's foundation.
Well, I have been through an earthquake too.
Wow.
So in Nettleton, Mississippi, I don't remember the exact year. Tom would have been one, two, maybe even a baby. I remember being up. It was late, 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning. So it might have been before Tom was born. Considering considering I was up late. But anyway, I was awake. I remember the cat was up with me, laying on the couch in Nettleton, and I felt everything kind of move. And come to find out, there was an earthquake in Nashville, and the tremors could be felt even as far south as we are in North Mississippi. But yes, I remember it. The ground shifted beneath my feet. It was a bit of a funny feeling.
It was strange.
Well, David, we've got breaking news.
Breaking news. I love breaking news. Wow.
Some of this is good news.
Yippee.
Some of this, not so good news.
Yeah.
But we do have breaking news, and it is of a shifting landscape. A shift has occurred in Christian life or in the Christian church here in America. We first learned about this about a week ago at a pastor's conference in New Orleans. Both and I, we attended, and big thank you to Mississippi Baptist New Orleans for putting that on and allowing us to attend. But Dr. John Pace said something. What did John Pace talk to us about in that session?
Yeah. So in this small group session, it was all of us Mississippi Baptist pastors. We got together and just kind of had a little think tank. And John shared something that was breaking news to all of us. And he shared that out of 100 people who might attend your church, 52 will be men, 48 will be women. Men now outnumber women in regular church attendance. And so we took a few minutes in that session to talk about what that means and to kind of talk about how we got there. I, for one, think that we arrived at that because of focused men's ministry over the last few decades. And I think that we are seeing the fruit of that. But let's continue on with some more information.
Yeah, so we actually looked it up. I mean, of course, we believe Dr. John Pace.
We love John. We just didn't trust him.
So we looked it up, and we did find Barna Research, which is a credible research arm. And it says, I mean, you can go to their website. It's on the very front of their website. It says, "New research on church attendance." And it says, at a glance, major gender shift. Men are significantly outpacing women in church attendance since the pandemic, reversing a long-standing trend in Barna's decades of tracking. The 2025 gender gap is the largest ever recorded so far. 43% for men versus 36% among women.
Yeah. Yeah. So that is absolutely amazing. What a shift that is.
I think we would all agree that for the majority of mine and your church life, church work, we can see that there's been more women in the pew, more women in the church, more women doing the work of the ministry per se, in the sense of the local church, than men.
Yeah. Yeah. I completely agree. No telling how many times we as pastors have said the following statement: our churches would collapse without the work of women. And always in my mind, I look back and say the overwhelming majority of the attendees and the servants are the women of the church. So this is very significant.
Very significant. And we can actually see from the data is that it's a lot of younger men. So probably with an older generation, there might be more women who come in the older generation, but it's outpacing by younger men. We're talking Gen Z and millennial men who are coming more to church than their women in those respective age. That's right. Yes.
Yeah. So interesting. Thomas, I've only been at First Baptist Senatobia for a little over 18 months. But since I've been at Senatobia, I remember preaching a message where I called out men. I called out men to be men. Some of the people of Senatobia loved it. I used an old-timey word, and I haven't ran this word past you, but can I use this word on our podcast? I don't know. You may need to get the bleep button out.
Okay.
But here is the word: sissy. I said, a bunch of men think that being a man is, and I named off a few things. I said, all that is a sissy. We need a bunch of sissies to get right with God and then get in church. And so a lot of our men love that I called out men. But Thomas, I'm not in the minority. Pastors often call out men. Attend a Father's Day service. The pastors will call out men. We may have to shift and start calling out women.
Oh, yeah.
Where are you at, women? We need you in the church. Your families need you to lead and worship. That's going to be tough.
That would be really tough for us. Let me ask you this. Why do you think men are outpacing women now? I think, you know, and us just talking about this before the podcast we hit record, we talked about like men-specific ministry. There has been a real drive within the last 20 to 25 years. If you reach the man of the household, the father of the household, then you reach them all. Yeah. And so I think there's been a real push in that. And we've seen that even in our time in our community, right? How many men's conferences are happening around the South?
Oh, yeah. 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 A bunch. And I do think we are beginning to see fruit. I think fruit is coming and it is more men attending. But Thomas, we don't want to lose ladies in our church. We don't want to lose the women of our church. Another dynamic that I think may have a current factor is the political landscape, the political environment. Okay, so let me go ahead and say this. I have never listened to Joe Rogan. I know Joe Rogan from way back when, Ultimate Fighting Championship, you know, commentator, that kind of stuff. Joe Rogan has a very popular podcast that I would assume is listened to by more men. I think the political landscape right now of Donald Trump being in office, I think there is a shift. And I think men through Donald Trump, Republican Party, through Joe Rogan, his podcast, and then simply through targeted ministry, men are starting to get the idea they're supposed to be leaders.
Yes.
They're supposed to be leaders. And I think they're starting to step up and lead, thankfully, in religious settings.
I see also, you know, that targeted ministry that you talked about. You think about like Woodstock, First Baptist Woodstock. They had a men's conference for years. Then you look at the Gridiron Men's Conference that happens like in Birmingham. But even in our area of North Mississippi, you think about what Jason Middleton did at Meadow View in Starkville. He had a men's conference there for a long time. He just recently had a men's conference at Gaston Baptist Church, where he pastors now. And then, of course, there's man church that's popped up almost in every community around. I think we're seeing the product of that intentional ministry that is happening towards men. We can celebrate that, right?
Absolutely.
But the number was, the Lord. What was the number? Was it 43%? 43% for men versus 36% among women. 43% for men. That is incredible. Sure would be nice, though, if it was 100%.
It sure would.
100% of men.
Right, that 100% of men polled would attend church. Yeah, that would be fantastic, man. Absolutely. Yeah, and then, like we heard, if there's 100 adults at your church on Sunday, the likelihood is that 52 of the 100 adults will be men and 48 would be women. We celebrate that. Absolutely. We are so thankful that men are getting right with the Lord and beginning to attend church in a regular and faithful way.
Also, as part of that Barna research, it says married dads show up, moms step back. That's kind of the title that they use. And here's what it says, David. Among parents of kids under 18, married dads have the highest show up rate at church compared to all other parents. Only 1 in 4 single moms, 24%, attend church weekly, significantly trailing other married moms and dads. So dads show up, moms step back. Why do you think that's the case? I mean, they're polling these people in church. Why would single moms not show up?
Okay. Could it be that moms are burnt out? Moms are frayed at both ends, burning the candle at both ends. Could it be that? Could it be a very good friend of ours, Kenny Digby, always says this, the pendulum swings. So in our lifetime, you were born a few years after I was born, but in our lifetime, the pendulum had swung to more female heavy church attendance. Is this simply the swinging of the pendulum in the other direction? But that's what I'm thinking. Pendulum swinging, female burnout. Did we overuse females in church leadership over the last 35 years? And now they've kind of dusted their hands and said, look, let's let somebody else step up. Is that what's going on?
Well, I think you hit on something. Okay. I think it's definitely mom burnout. Uh-huh. But if it's a single mom, that single mom might be working 8, 10, 12 hours. Maybe they're working two jobs. They are making meals for their kids at night. And then Sunday becomes a day to rest instead of a day for worship. Yeah. Also, I mean, I think that definitely plays into it. The mom has to be mom. That mom has to be dad. That mom has to do basically everything and just burning the candle at both ends. But also think about churches can be kind of judgy, can't they?
Oh, surely not. Are you sure you know anything about churches? Yes, we can be.
You think that might have something to do with it? A single mom coming and sitting with their child, it kind of pulls out, it would make them stand apart. If many of them are coming with families, if many of the attendees are families coming with their children, and then she's there for whatever reason, it kind of brings attention to that.
Thomas, I heard something interesting just recently. We met with a church plant very close to where I currently serve. The staff of our church met with this church plant. And there was just a church member who was there, just a church member, to give the church member's perspective of this church plant and what this church is doing. And she kind of shared her story. She began attending that church plant after a divorce. Her three children are grown now. And she said, if I had walked into other church that she previously attended, or other church who knew her, or other church who knew her husband or her now ex-husband's family, she said, I would have been bombarded with questions. And she said, I wanted a fresh start. I wanted to go somewhere where basically nobody knew my name and nobody would ask any questions. I just came in as a single woman. You're right. If a woman comes in with kids, hey, so are you married? Where do you work?
Where's your husband at today?
That's it. Where's your husband at? And there are so many things. And it's then sure, I'm sure the judgment of if you're a single lady and you're getting at least one child ready, possibly multiple children, hair has to be combed. Teeth have to be brushed, church clothes. And I'm using air quotes. Thomas, can our podcast listeners see my air quotes right now?
They cannot, but I can.
Church clothes.
He used air quotes.
Must be worn. And so there is so much more to just going and attending. So it would be really easy to just say, yeah, we're just staying home, kids. I'm tired. I've been working. Or I'm going to be working on Sunday. And it would be on the back burner. I agree.
And so when I hear this, I think, what can we do? What can the church do to not leave the women behind? What can we do as a ministry? First thing I think of would be some very women-specific ministries. And if it's moms, single moms, who are feeling this, who are not coming to church on a regular basis, then we should really target them. And maybe even... Well, I tell you, one of the things that we're doing right now that we're in the process of doing here at Ingomar is we're about to start a women's ministry Sunday school class. And it's going to be targeted for women who come to church without their husbands. So we're fixing to start a ministry, women's Sunday school class ministry type that is particularly geared for them so that they don't feel kind of left out. We already got a women's class, and that women's class is doing a good job, and they're working in that aspect as well. But we saw a need for one to appeal to younger women.
Yeah, that makes sense. Thomas, I think that's a really good idea. I think we need to remind women that you are not alone. I think one good way of reminding younger ladies they are not alone is to somehow build a partnership with younger ladies and older ladies. At First Baptist in Etobia, we have something called sisterhood. We have the brotherhood. Most churches have brotherhood. You get together and eat scrambled eggs and some fried bacon.
Amen.
And so they have a sisterhood that usually has quarterly meetings. The sisterhood will have quarterly meetings. And those meetings are really good. I've attended or been around for a couple of those. Man, they are fantastic.
Because you're a sister.
That's right. That is not right. And sometimes we'll have local speakers. There's a lady, our next sisterhood, there's a lady in our church who is gone through breast cancer. Her cancer is in remission. And so she is going to share her cancer journey. It is fantastic. She has two little children and she's a PhD professor. It's going to be great. After that, the next one coming up, I believe, the next quarterly meeting will be Rita Sweat. You know Rita Sweat. Some of our listeners will know Rita Sweat. She and her husband, Lloyd, have served in the Amory area for a number of years. Her husband is a pastor. Rita Sweat is one of the best. What do you call what she does? She takes on...
Dramatist.
That's it. Dramatist. She will act out a biblical person. Deborah.
Ruth.
Maybe Mary. Ruth. There you go. Dude, it is unreal. So our people at Senatopia are not ready for what is about to happen whenever Rita comes to our church. She's done this at other churches where I've served, but never First Baptist. And April was only told a little bit just to sell it. And the Sisterhood Steering Committee has already booked Rita. We've got her. Dude, they're going to be floored.
Oh, it's going to be good.
They're going to be floored. So there are things. There are things. Just as churches have focused on the ministry of men, we can now shift and focus on the ministry of women. Doing sisterhood, doing specific Sunday school classes like what you've just mentioned. And then I think being intentional from the pulpit. Do you know a woman who does not go to church? Invite her to come to church.
Yeah.
She may find what she's looking for right here at our church. And you can talk with her about the Lord and you can be such a spiritual benefit to your friend who currently is not in church.
What did you say earlier?
Man, I said a lot, Thomas.
Dr. Digby.
Yeah.
Dr. Keeney Digby.
The pendulum swings. Then he often says that about liberal conservative. If there is a liberal swing, just wait. There will be a conservative
politically.
Shift.
That's
politically,
what yeah.
Politically, he says that often. The pendulum always swings.
That we should have some insulation between those pendulum swings, yeah, right? Especially in the church and ministry, and maybe you find yourself maybe. Like us, we recognize there is a need for a women's ministry in our church. Mm-hmm. And we already have some things going on in some other areas, like on Wednesday night and other nights of the week. But on that Sunday morning, Sunday school time, we don't have that much going on that would appeal. So we need to add to that. I don't think it's one or the other. We really should be doing both, yeah, shouldn't we?
Focusing on the family, reaching men, women, boys, and girls for Jesus Christ. Absolutely.
So I listen to Albert Mohler every day as I drive. I got about a 35-minute drive every morning, and I listen to Albert Mohler. I've done that for years.
And his podcast is called The Briefing.
Podcast called The Briefing. That's mainly how I get a lot of my news. He does it from a Christian worldview. I don't agree with Albert Mohler on everything that he might say or do, but I agree with a lot.
Yeah.
And especially when he's talking about political and social kind of issues like that. Well, on August the 12th, I think it was, I looked it up, and he had a part, and this is what he said. He said, among non-LGBTQ adults. All right. So this is some kind of report that he's reading off here. And this is straight people.
Yeah. He's going to be talking about heterosexual men and women.
Heterosexual men and women. And he says this, 54% of men say they want to be parents, compared with 39% of women.
Wow. That's amazing.
That is a huge gap.
Yeah, 15 percentage points, correct?
That's 15 percentage points. And usually on something like this, you have a difference of
probably plus or minus 2 or 3.
2 or 3%.
Yeah.
So you're looking, let's say 15%. 15% difference between men who were surveyed and 39% of women who were surveyed. The men want to be parents and women do not. And he goes on to talk about in the podcast that usually in a society, the women far outweigh. They grow up thinking about getting married and having children and pushing baby carriages and doing all of the motherly things. And it's the men whom you got to settle down into the society. But now we've had this huge shift when it comes to the family. David, why do you think that is? Why do you think more men want to have children now than the women who were surveyed?
First, thank God that men are interested in attending church and are regularly attending church. Second, thank the Lord that men want to be fathers. For too long, men have run from the responsibility of fatherhood and even husbandry. They didn't want to be a husband. They didn't want to have children. They viewed all of those things in negative light. Thank the Lord that men are doing that. I think it goes back to being a leader. If we're calling men to be leaders, one of the best way to be a leader is to, I don't have any sons, but is to have a son. That son will grow up, hopefully acting like his mama, but he's going to be a lot like his daddy. You happen to be the father of two boys.
Yes.
And those boys not just look like you, but they are following in your footsteps. That's one of the best ways that you can lead the next generation is to father the next generation. So I think it has something to do with it. Men are stepping up to the plate in leadership roles, and it happens to do with bringing on sons.
I feel like I'm at a disadvantage to answer the question of why women might not be stepping up in church and why women might not want families nowadays. So I've asked myself the question, if Amanda was here, how would my wife answer the question?
Wow. So you're trying to put yourself in Amanda's brain. Is that
yes,
what I'm hearing?
Yes, yes,
that's
yes.
That's dangerous territory, Thomas. Hey, what does Amanda's brain think about me?
She likes you. She likes you. Those waves are coming through right now. She likes you. Yes, yes. But if those waves came through even now, I could connect to her through ESPN. And I think she would say, this is a product of feminism. She took seminary classes for a period of time, and she was studying theology. And one of the things that she had to study was like feminist theology. And I think she would probably argue now that what we're seeing is the product of feminist theology in the culture and slowly working through the church.
Yeah, that would make sense. You know, we do stand on the shoulders of theologians who have gone before us, but then we also suffer through some of the past revolutions, sexual revolution, feminist revolution, those things that detracted us from the biblical mandate of manhood and womanhood, and even the biblical mandate of the family.
Well, we're going to try to keep our eyes and ears attuned to this subject of, you know, this shift, this major shift that has happened. But man, what breaking news it was to me that day.
Yeah, that's right. We were really surprised. You and I have had this conversation carried on now for several days. And I'm thankful that men are faithfully attending church. And I'm thankful that women faithfully attend church. And we want to see the Lord continue to work in our communities. So if you listen to us today, thank you so much for tuning in.